Zoom. Looks like we're done.
That's all our music we got.
Yep. You turn.
Turn you off. All right, there you go.
Turn your amps off.
Yeah, you can turn your amps off. Where should they? Where should they sit? Right here on the ground.
I can sit on the ground.
Mike, yeah, I have the
camera.
Do I need a mic? Should I take that lavalier mic?
Yeah, let me put it on.
Okay. What is MUSI music? CA. Oh, this the place they talked about? Tell us about the place that you're performing at.
Sure. iMusicCast is a venue in Oakland that...
Can you hear? No. Are they... can they be amplified into the room or something, Mikey? Because Frank can't hear them.
Okay, let me see. They're not on. I can see the little picture.
All right, there you go. That's better.
Check.
All right, okay. So iMusicCast is a venue that's been around for a few years that bands, since about 2001, the bands play it, and then the what they play is broadcasted on the internet
sort of
so
like
people
here.
Can watch, sort of like here. And somewhere in there, a band called The Locals came about, and it's got a lot of young people into them. And so we've been going there for a while, and... They're having trouble making enough money right now, so they're going to be closing unless they can get enough money to move to a better place. So we're playing a benefit show along with a few other people, and it's really an honor to play there.
September 17th. That's
September 17th.
That's the one Petra was talking about.
The one Petra is talking about.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like this cool, like, all-ages venue where people can hang out and all kinds of bands can play.
And it's mostly all local bands, no one big.
Yeah,
it's mostly underground.
It's very rare that a big band's come there. It's rare.
Rare.
Well, every now and then a big band will play there, but it's mostly local.
And tickets are cheap, so you don't get broke.
Yeah, tickets are cheap, and it's really cool.
Where did you all meet?
Well, me and Zeke, I'm Andrew, this is Zeke, and this is Petra, Matt, and Adam. Me and Zeke have been friends for, like, years.
Ever.
And so, a long time ago...
We've been friends since first grade.
Yeah. And so, like, a little while ago, a long time ago, I guess, Zeke started to play guitar. And so I kind of wanted to be in a band with him, so I started to play bass. And we've been in so many bands that I'm not even going to name them all. And then eventually at school, I met Adam, and I found out he played guitar, so we invited him to be in our band. And we struggled a little bit trying to work with that.
We were called the Paranoid Chameleons at that point. Mm. And we went through two drummers. They were both, they were pretty cool. And
why do drummers always leave?
Well, that's a long story. There are as many drummers as there are singers and guitarists and bassists, so it's hard to find a drummer that really suits your music, but that's hell of cool.
Most of the time, you're just finding anyone available.
Yeah. And then we, after the Paranoid Chameleons broke up, the three of us were all still together, and we wanted to start a new band with a female vocalist, and we've been trying for a while. And then we found Petra, and then we picked our name and wrote a few songs, and then we really needed a drummer.
How did you find Petra?
That's a long story.
A lot of different things.
But I have a good answer for it. Our old drummer put an ad on a group called Parents of Teens saying we're looking for a female vocalist. And she read it 6 months after we posted it. And she came at a show at iMusicast. She said, oh, I'm interested in being your singer. And we were like, okay. When she said it, we were not really sure we were still going to be a band. But then we auditioned her, and it was really, really cool. And we were like, well, we should do this again. So then we looked for a drummer. We met Matt at iMusicast. We'd seen him a long time.
We realized he played drums.
I actually asked him, I'm like, do you play drums by any chance? And he did.
Yeah, I remember that was at a Tragedy Andy show.
Tragedy Andy show.
K. E. E. Keep. Keep him. L. O. C. Lock. Keep him locked up.
We're going to kidnap you.
He sleeps in the garage.
Yeah, get in that broom closet and don't leave. You get meals 3 times a day.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. That's what Frank is saying. Good drummer's hard to find.
So lock them up.
Why do he D-R-I drive, was it why? No, does he drive the drummer? Does the drummer drive? Do you drive?
No, not yet.
He doesn't drive.
Next year.
But next year. But right now he doesn't drive.
She's the oldest.
D. R. U. Drummers. Always. Drive.
Yeah, I'd say that's one of the harder things, getting transportation for all of us and moving our gear around.
Did you hear that? That's one of the hardest things for them, getting transportation, moving all the gear around.
The parents are really useful for that.
The parents are really
we have
useful.
Several parents that we use sometimes.
His parents are at Burning Man.
Yeah, his parents are at Burning Man right now.
Yeah, my parents drive. I'm cool. So.
Yeah, his parents drive, my parents drive, Adam's parents drive.
D. A. Darn. What about his parents being at Burning Man? Why do you say darn to that? No. C. Transportation. No transportation. It sounds like other parents drive, too. Yeah. They got backup parents.
Yeah. My dad's a DJ, and so he has a camp up at Burning Man. And so, yeah.
His dad is a DJ, so has a camp up at Burning Man. Where? Where does he DJ?
Before I was born, like 14, 15 years ago, him and his friend Bryce or something like that started this group called Friends and Family. It was pretty much just like an underground like rave association. And they used to throw a lot of parties, and then when me and my two siblings were born, he kind of stopped, and he still does it every now and then. And we have a big camp out up in Mendocino County every year, and it's fun.
T. E. Tell. Him. He. Could. Do. A show on Lover.
Cool.
That'd be cool.
I'll tell him.
Yeah.
Sounds like something Nathan might get a kick out of.
Yeah, he lives block from here as
we
well.
Yeah, I live right over there, block down.
He lives a block down. Have you C H E checked Lover out? Are you asking everybody? Yeah.
The website?
Yeah, the website.
Yeah, I have a little. I actually watched some of the Shaman Sen archives. The ones that had video, because I want to see what it looks like in here.
Yeah. What? What did you think of it?
I thought it was really cool. Good music. The interviews weren't on the video. It was just the music part. So I didn't hear that. But it's pretty cool.
The theme is the same as a summer camp I go to called Camp Winter Rainbow. Which is Wavy Gravy Summer
Camp. Wavy Gravy's camp. You said it's the. You said the theme. The theme is the same as
peace,
Wavy Gravy's
love.
Camp. What?
Peace love.
Peace love.
Which sounds sort of corny, but it's
really cool.
Yes. I. K. No. Frank knows Wavy Gravy.
Yeah.
From New Mexico many years ago. That's when they knew each other.
Yeah, I know Wavy Gravy too.
Right. Get him on the show. Frank hasn't been able to get him to commit to be on the show.
I could try talking to him, but I probably won't see him for another year or so.
How? What is the R? A. I. N. Rainbow Camp. Tell people about the Rainbow Camp.
I'm good at talking about Camp Winter Rainbow.
He really is.
He
talks about it
24/7.
Okay. Well, apparently, 30 years ago, Wavy Gravy had a daycare center or something in New Mexico.
Yeah.
I would have heard.
Yeah.
And they called it Camp Winter Rainbow. It was just all the hog farm parents had children and they were at the daycare. Then they started getting serious.
Where? I. K. That's where Frank knew him from.
Right. Yeah. And then when they started getting serious about the summer camp, because they realized if they taught kids these really good ethics when they were young, it could help them when they were older, they went to Mendocino County, Laytonville, and opened a camp. And we sleep in teepees and do circus arts. And the point's not really doing circus arts. The point's learning to take everything that comes in life with grace and humor. I think Wavy Gravy actually said those exact words. And it was like, this last year I was an oldest camper. And I've been going for 5 years. And there was something almost even spiritual about the whole experience. Because, like, we walked a labyrinth, and I don't know, I found answers I was looking for. And I think that if I hadn't been going to the camp for a long time, my life wouldn't have been as centered as it is now.
What answers did you find?
Well, for me, when I walked into the labyrinth, I would have some sort of problem I was dealing with at the time, an everyday thing. Like, I would be in a group of people, and I would feel like I had to be saying something, or I had to do things, or I would feel rushed with all the performance that I was doing. And I would go in thinking, well, it's also messy, the whole life thing. And I would come out with this sort of wisdom that I couldn't have thought of on my own. that is let life come to you. Mm. You don't have to chase life.
Mm.
And it, I kind of even saw it that night because, like, I was feeling good that night.
M.O. Most people don't ever F.I. figure that out.
Most people don't go to camp in Rambo.
Most people don't go to camp, that camp, that camp. Why is why isn't there a B I big C camp for everyone?
That would be someone's utopia.
That would be someone's utopia. Yes. We need M. O, we need more C camp winner rainbows.
Definitely. Definitely.
How is S C school? Are you talking to the same, to anybody? How is school?
Well, we all go to different schools.
Pardon?
Most of us go to different schools. They go to the same school.
Go to the same school, but everybody else goes to different schools. And so far, it hasn't been all that good, but it hasn't been bad, I guess.
School's school, you know.
How is it, tell us about it when you say it's good and it's bad. Tell us about it.
Well, we go to Prospect Sierra, which is in El Cerrito, and...
what did you say?
I'm just like, yeah, let's just tell everyone, because school is not the greatest.
Yeah, it's not...
It's a bit embarrassing.
The academic part's fine, it's just the social, like, I have friends there, but even my friends are kind of annoying a lot.
A lot.
I wonder who's watching.
Yeah, all of my friends, you're annoying.
H E R here is your chance. Get how are they annoying?
I can tell you how his friends are annoying. Well, I mean, nothing. There's nothing wrong with being immature or being privileged. There's really nothing, and we're all very privileged in, like, the world scale of things.
Very.
So there's, like, there's nothing wrong with it, but it can just kind of be annoying, like, especially, like, if you work really hard for something, and, like, you save up money, and let's say you, like, buy a guitar, and you've been practicing, you've been taking lessons, you've been doing a lot, and then your friend just is like, oh... Well, I'll ask my parents for a guitar because, you know, that's the trendy thing to do. And they have money. And because they've always just been able to get what they want, they can just get it.
And they and it don't M mean a lot. To them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it means something to us.
Yeah, it means something to us.
Another thing is that everyone around our age, just the whole pop culture, it's really, like, around now, it's the most annoying thing ever.
Yeah.
the whole pop culture is the most annoying thing ever. How so?
Like, what you see on MTV, all that stuff, just the morals it's teaching you.
But then what you don't see on MTV also, like...
Yeah.
Can you hear all that?
Yeah.
MTV doesn't show.
The trend is to be, like, underground and hardcore.
Yeah, the trend is to be, like, when underground is mainstreamed, then it's not really underground. It kind of loses the point.
Exactly. I get shit for S saying that. And he's been getting shit for saying that for 30 years.
So do we.
A lot.
Yeah. What? Tell. Well, Frank takes a certain amount of pride in being able to stay underground and be doing it for so many years. It seems like that's an art in itself. And there have been points in our lives where there's been a lot of push to be more mainstream. Like, you know, you do something that people all of a sudden come to see, and you're in papers, and then all of a sudden it's, like, easier to be mainstream than not. Like, in the 70s, in the late 70s, we did a show at the Mabuhay Garden, which at the time was, like, the hot punk place in San Francisco. We were the early show for several years, and we got lots and lots and lots and lots of media all over the world. We were in movies, we were on TV, we were in newspapers, and Frank had to work really hard to, as he says, not get famous. And, you know, a lot of people didn't understand why he would want to work hard to not get famous, but... you know, he's always said that to have more power and is that the word you use? In the underground. It's not the word. E? Effect. You're more effective in the underground.
Well, like, I do think that something... Like, there's... Like, a lot of bands in particular... When they get really famous, they just lose the point. Because they say, well, we can make more money if we go conform to the culture. But there's a few that can get really big and stay true what they're good for. And then getting famous is a good thing because they're spreading their own message. And it's still true out to, like, everyone.
That is rare.
Yes, very rare. I know, like, one or two bands that do that. Very, very rare. Like, I think Bad Religion would be my...
W-H-I, which, we are asking for examples.
Bad Religion.
Bad Religion.
Anti-Flag.
Pardon?
Maybe.
What did you say?
Anti-Flag. They have a good message.
Bad Religion and Anti-Fug.
Especially Bad Religion, I think, because they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And the singer actually, like, has a PhD. So it's not like he's just some singer who got famous. He, like, actually... works on what his lyrics are. He's very intelligent.
He wrote a book.
He writes books, and, like, sometimes you have to grab a dictionary to know what he's talking about in his songs.
Get there. C D S CDs.
I wrote them down.
Oh, the bands that you got. For Lover. Yeah.
Anti-Flag?
Anti-Flag,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, that already passed.
That's the kind of big.
Yeah, yesterday I think they played a free show in the city. Golden Gate Park. We were recording.
Yeah, we were recording Matt's other band.
B. A. Back. To. MTV. Back to MTV. Why? How does it S suck? How does it suck?
Well, I think that it plays a lot of, like, superficial music, like, kind of like these, like, mainstream, like, rappers who, like, are bragging about how they, like, didn't have a good life coming up, and now they're all rich and, like, they can afford anything they want. And it just seems really superficial and not real.
Teaching bad morals, talking about how they're so proud of how they got shot 5 times in the hand. And then...
Yeah, like, a lot of these, like, they're not bashing, like, a genre of music. Like, because there's some really cool underground rap.
There's a lot of it.
But most of the mainstream rap is talking about, like, either really disgusting or really just awful messages. And that's what they play on MTV. And it's like, what do you think that these kids that are watching it, that are idolizing these people, that are talking about living in a ghetto, and, like, these things that, like, our culture could try to eliminate in, like, the next 100 years, or it could get a lot worse. And, like, it doesn't really help to have, like, these people want this. And that brings me to, like, this thing about video games. Because, like, there's, like, again, not to bash video games either. There's some cool video games, but, like, when you, like, go to an arcade and you see, like, a 6-year-old holding one of these, like, plastic guns shooting people on the screen, it's like, that scares me. Because they, like, what do you think they're going to turn out to be when they're my age? What do you think they're going to turn out to be when they're 25?
And the Army, they even made, like, their own video game where you're in the Army and you're going around shooting people. It's another recruitment tactic.
It's like, it makes people know. It makes them, like, their life is nothing. And that's scary.
It's not on.
No.
Oh, his mic isn't on.
Kill Radio is another band that stays true to their message.
Kill Radio, Mikey.
That mic is like a penis envy.
It's good lyrics in that game.
R. R U. N. O. R. Normally. Yeah. Normal? Are you all normal?
No.
A.
Normal is hard to define.
And B.
There's no definition for normal.
E. Are you average? In terms of the way you look at things, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
I don't think so.
I would definitely say no.
No.
No. The answer is no. M. U. T. A. N. Mutants. You're mutants, then.
Well, everyone's
we
a mutant.
There's
We're everyone.
The
everyone has some genetic mutations that make them different. That's what makes everyone special.
You're my hero.
Thank you.
Why? How? Did you get to be mutants?
Well, as I said, my dad's a DJ, and he kind of brought me up, like, in this kind of, like, hippie raver culture, and so that's kind of, like, what I grew up with. And my grandma is also, like,
hippie-ish.
Really, yeah, hippie-ish. And
which is good. That's a good thing. I went to Camp on a Rainbow, and my parents are kind of liberal, and
they're what?
They're liberal, and they understand that I have good judgment, and therefore they kind of let me flow instead of constricting me, and I appreciate that.
And until you're old enough to think for yourself, your parents' beliefs and values sort of rub off on you. And I think all of our parents are fairly liberal.
Yeah, all our parents have good ethics, I think.
Yeah, it's not just if you're Republican or Democrat.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, not even talking about political parties. It's
I just had too much time to think. Like, that's how he became a mutant.
He just had too much time to think. That's how he became a mutant.
Thinking,
a?
And then you start figuring out
about what? Thinking
like,
about what?
The world.
Life in general, yeah. Like, what the world's gotten to now. And, like, yeah, philosophy.
Life in general, what the world's gotten to now,
theories,
philosophy.
Stuff like that.
What was the last thing you said?
Just theories, like
theories.
Life theories. Kind of develop your own views on that.
That is D, dangerous.
Doing everything's what he did. Dangerous. Yeah, like it's dangerous to who? Like the people in power now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 That's a good thing then.
I guess that's a good thing because like I don't know. Some of the things they're doing now are really scaring me.
Like spending money on the war that could have gone to keeping the levees working in New Orleans.
Or like feeding people in Africa. Like how many people are starving? Like we should stop thinking about the world as like our country and how we're gonna be so good because like there's so many contradictions and things that we do so stupidly that we should just try to focus on like humanity.
See, do you remember that Millennium Project thing that my mom showed us?
I don't remember very much about it.
Just that the United States, I think the UN had some project to cut poverty in half by 2015, 2010, somewhere around there. And all the countries that are in the UN were decided to donate a percentage of their economy, their money. And the U.S., gives the least percentage, even though we're the richest country in the world.
Yeah. And, but we're the most powerful country.
Most powerful, definitely.
Yeah, and, another thing is how the media kind of scares you, and, like, when this whole New Orleans thing came into the media, it didn't seem real to me anymore. There's, like, in movies and even in the news, it's like, there's so much violence, there's so much broadcasted things that are really disgusting that it's just like it makes you numb, and even people that avoid it like me, like it felt like oh, another disaster. Well, I saw that coming. And I don't really understand even yet that they, like, there are people dying. It just hasn't quite sunk in. It's like
it's really unreal.
Yeah, it feels just like it's just like another movie. And that really disturbs me that I can say that I feel it, but, like, it hasn't hit me yet that this stuff is actually going on. Mm. And it's scary.
4. 5. For no. G. Good. Reason. It's going on for no good reason.
Yeah, there's no... Well, like, a hurricane, like, that's just a natural disaster, but the way we've been responding to it and... The way that, well, I guess it probably wasn't the wisest move to build the city there, but, like, the people that built the city didn't really know that.
And the way we could have prevented it.
Yeah.
That we had the chance to, but we didn't.
Yeah.
We just...
scrapped the project. We need to make more weapons for... We need to make more money for nuclear weapons.
We kill people overseas.
Yeah, they're supposed to have like people helping at the New Orleans thing, but they're all over fighting the war.
Yeah, that's what the National Guard is for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best use for like a army, like to maybe help people in a natural disaster. Mm. Like that's a great use. It's, instead of killing people, it's like the opposite of what we should have people doing that for.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay, you should say what you were going to say.
Yeah, well, what I was saying is that I don't think that we should be focusing on, like, a rocky democracy when we've got our own problems right here that we should be dealing with.
And we can't really leave now that we've entered it. We can't, like, go into, like, a country and say, oh, well, this isn't right. Let's just destroy everything and rebuild it and then leave, like, a year later. We can't do that.
We're in a rut.
But... we do, but we are not R.E., but we are not rebuilding.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on. It's not following.
And also now the news, it's everything. It's just the Hurricane Katrina, nothing else.
Well, yeah, but it's only been a few days. Like,
it's been a week or something.
Yeah, like, I remember after 9/11... everything that was on the news for like 6 months, it was like all about it. And, I mean, there were other things going on. It was just to scare people. And once you get, and like I read an article in the New York Times, or was read to me or something, about how the way human emotions work is the same part of the, isn't the very reasonable part of the brain, mm-hmm. and the way we react after like a disaster or something is the part of brain about emotions. So we overreact right after it happens, and then we forget about it, and we underreact for years until it happens again, mm-hmm. and we overreact.
But don't L O lose H O don't lose hope.
That's true, although it is hard to look, it is hard to
A,
see it all coming out.
If you lose hope, they win. They have won.
After camp this year, I went into camp with this attitude of, oh, the world's going to hell and there's nothing I can do about it.
You just block.
And then when I came out, I felt like maybe I had a chance for changing something. And I would try to do my part.
You do and are. You do have a chance to change things and you are changing things.
Thanks.
H O L hold on to your ideals. People like will tell you it's time to grow up. The ideals are for when you're young and it's time to grow up. That's what will inevitably happen. Or, like MTV, they will say your ideals are dumb.
Well, it's only eyes of the beholder, but I personally would like to see more people listening to my ideas and other people's ideas that I respect. But you know, that's when getting big as a band and getting big as a people can actually be good, when you're broadcasting your ideas to people. And they can take them in.
Before lover, we T thought there wasn't any more good music. We had stopped listening to the radio and thought there's just no good music. Yeah, well, we only listened to Lover. Then we started Lover, and we started getting, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of CDs a week, and they were like 95% of them are really good. And we realized that there's plenty of good music out there, which is not on the radio.
When corporations decide what's good for the public, then, and how people are so shaped by what they hear on the radio and what they see on MTV, then these people turning into like little images of the corporations and not themselves.
And the C O corporations want you to think the S, the stuff you hear on the radio, is the only stuff that's out there.
It's worth listening to.
Or the only thing worth listening to. No, the only stuff that's out there. They want you to think. They want people to think that what they hear on the radio is the only thing, only music that's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was a little boy. Elementary school, like second to fifth grade, I was listening to everything that I heard. Radio, even some stuff on MTV, stuff that my friends told me that was really big. And then right around then, I got introduced to the local scene here. And I realized that there's a lot better music being played than just what you hear.
There's a whole different level of experiencing it. Like, going to a club and seeing a band and then meeting them and having them sign things and talking to them is totally different than, like, watching a band on TV that hundreds of thousands of people are watching. You're never going to meet that band. There's a lot more to music than that.
They want to see L O close C L U. They want to close clubs down.
And it's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, iMusic has the place that we've been at, even though it's been, we've seen it, like, the experience we've been having, like, haven't been as fun over the last year, it's true, but it is, it's closing, and, I mean, there are other all-ages clubs, but I'm not even really sure why it's closing, but it is. There's not enough money for them.
And even now, it's sort of becoming, and sort of like a, they're thinking like a corporation, even though they're not, like, the bands that are playing right now aren't necessarily good. Like, the bookers are booking bands that just draw a lot of people.
And that's
they
how,
don't care.
Yeah, that's how a business works. Like, if a band has a lot of friends and they tell all their friends to go to the show, they don't even have to play their instruments. They could sit on the stage. And if they get 100 people coming in, the bookers say, oh, that means we just made a lot of money. So we'll book them again because all these people will come again. They don't care how well they play. And then other bands can play really well and they never get shows because they don't draw. And then once in a while, the booking people will bring a band in that has a lot of talent, and people will start liking them. And I think that's how it should be, but it's not.
Are I right now? We have S stopped. S-T-A started R-E renting spaces to perform because we can't get booked at any of the clubs. The clubs that we were booked in got shut down for the kinds of reasons that you're saying. And so what's left are clubs that aren't edgy at all, that want to just book safe things, and we're not. And so we're just renting spaces ourselves now, producing our own shows. In S, San Francisco, where we're renting, the Balazzo Art Gallery, 18th and Mission.
Some bands that we know play on Musicast, they play there also.
Yeah, so we're hoping that that's going to work out so we can do something regular there. S, O, U, sound like that is the only place in San Francisco that we're aware of.
There are a lot more places.
There's a venue we were at this Thursday called Bottom of the Hill. It's still playing.
It's bottom of Petrero Hill.
And it's pretty cool.
It's good.
Yeah, but the size of the actual venue is tiny.
Then there's Slim's, there's the Pound. There's a lot of places that go and discover it, actually.
Well, Slim's is really big. They have bad
so
venues.
But the Pound is pretty small.
Yeah. There's all those huge venues like the Fillmore.
How about G?
Yeah.
Gilman Street?
God.
That's complex.
We had this friend, like, well, he had, well, we kind of...
We shared a friend.
named Pez, and he started going to the Gilman, and he, you know, started going to the Gilman.
Well, he was having a really tough year, so, like, it's kind of understandable, but he was getting into some kind of bad stuff, and it was kind of scary. And I know a lot of people with the Gilman that, well, they listen to really underground music, but they, I don't know, it just seems like a place for kids to smoke pot, and, like, two blocks away and not get caught. And
I mean, if they want to do that, that's fine, but the Gilman has become more about the drugs and the alcohol and the, more than the music now.
And it's sad because they have this sign, like, right in the front door that says, like, no drugs, no, like, abuse, no, like, alcohol. And then, like, right outside, like, 10 feet away, there are, like, people, like, doing drugs and smoking pot and drinking.
And, like, some of those things are okay for, like, recreational things, but they're really causing, like, social decay when they're in, like, America's youth. And, like, a lot of things are okay in moderation, but I don't know if, like, people in 7th grade should be exposed to it.
Have you? You're asking them if they've been exposed. Have they done drugs or alcohol? Is that what you're asking?
Been exposed to, yes. Done, no.
No.
I don't think
did
any
you hear
of
that?
Would ever
no. Been exposed to, yes. Done them, no. Why? Why not?
Well, I guess maybe like later, like I guess in life when I don't know. I don't think I really want to like mess up my life anyway, or like even take the chance like in 8th grade when like I don't know. It just seems like too young an age to like mess it all up.
Yeah. Being a kid is good for a while.
I have enough time in my life to try something if I want to, but I don't like the idea of being out of control. And I don't like the idea... Like, I feel like I have a good enough time on my... Just on life. I don't need, like, a chemical to...
Yeah, I was just gonna say
that. Yeah, I'm high on life.
You were gonna say what?
I was gonna say the same thing as kids. They just don't really, like, do anything for me. And it wouldn't really, like, change anything.
I don't think I
get joy out of doing it. I might as well just not... And not take the chance, like, Andrew was
saying. I'll try it sometime, but not when I have so much, I'm in a really lucky position. I'm getting an education, I'm eating all the time, and I don't want to mess up what I've got. I think I'm really lucky, and I should be grateful.
What is what do you want to be in your life? You're asking exactly
yeah,
you
think
first.
Let's go around.
Oh, well, I guess my main priority would be to like make music for a living and keep doing this. But besides that, I've always, like, since I was really little, I've always wanted to be an architect.
For me, it's not so much, like, what I do, but it's just to, like, if it has something to do with music or if it has something to do with, like, designing computer things.
And we're all big geeks.
Not all of us.
Not all
but
of us. Just three of us.
Us three are... We,
we're
we,
in our little
yeah,
stupid career.
We're both, like, really big Trekkies.
Yeah, we all three of us are
oh, God.
Star Trek fans, and we do a lot of computer programming. And, like, I don't know, like, maybe my ideal job would be programming music software. Like, I honestly don't think I could have a successful life playing in a band. Like, maybe I'll do it on the side, but, like, I wanna live. And so, like, I would like music to be part of my life, but right now, honestly, I think the most important thing is getting my message out.
and the message that I hear at Camp on a Rainbow and in some other places, it's really important. And right now, that's my highest priority. I don't know if it'll stay that way, but I kind of hope so. Mm.
Me, I want to sing. I either want to be on Broadway or in a jazz band or in a rock band or a metal band. Hey! Metal bands, female vocalists, are tight. No! The mic doesn't like me! It's scary! I want to design clothes and stuff and write. And, oh, this is Grogpeck. He is our mascot. He is my beautiful beast panda. Yes.
I don't know. I either want to just play in a band or basically just, like, change some, like, one person's life, through whether it's through music or, like, a book or something. Just whatever I do or write, just, like, change one person's view on everything, like, for the better.
I don't know, I just really want to do something that I have fun with. I don't want to have a boss or someone that tells me I have to be at work from blank to blank hour. I want to do something to change the world. I have no clue how I would go about doing that yet, though. I have a lot of time to think about it, though.
R-E-A. Really? U. A. Already are changing the world, doing something to change the world.
Thank you.
It is very hard. No, H O hopeful. Talking to these guys gives you hope. Why so? Well, you seem clear about what life is about for you, and it seems like it's not, you're not focused on self-gratification. You're focused on something that suggests feeling like you are part of everybody else. Because why else would you care about changing the world if you didn't feel like you were connected to the rest of the world? So it's not coming from, you don't seem to be coming from a place of about me, but about, you know, that we're all the same. And, you know, the fact that there's, you know, five of you sitting here that have all come to that on your own and seem real clear about it. And then are living it, or so it seems. I mean, really, that's what it's all about, living what you believe in. And that's what puts out the thing that changes everything. And T-H-A-N, thankful. H-G, thank God. U-M-O moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right.
Ever since my parents divorced when I was 5, I was in El Cerrito in an apartment. My mom and I just moved here across the street in December, January. It's great here.
Yeah.
And it must be really cool having two houses in Berkeley. One next to the bagel store and one next to Snacker's Pizza.
Yeah. And then just here in general, like the Bay Area, it's just so great to grow up here. When you go to other places, you realize that, how great it is.
Yeah, how good we have it to live here.
Yeah. L. A. Last year. Oh, who lived in, well, the house that you guys moved into, the fascists lived in that house.
Oh, yeah.
And we pretty much drove them out of the neighborhood. Did you hear that?
Yeah, sort of.
It was a couple, a nice white couple with a new baby who couldn't afford any place else but here, but they weren't really happy with here, but they couldn't raise their kid in Oakland. with all the black people. And, you know, right away they started giving the family that lives next door to you guys, they started calling the police on them. Mm. They were asking the guy who lived across the street if he would put a surveillance camera in his daughter's window so they could keep an eye, because surely they're black and they drive new cars, so they must be dealing drugs. These are the kind of things they said to all of us, and then they wondered why the neighborhood wasn't real friendly to them. And they were very divisive, and they kept doing stuff like that, so we really felt like we had, we were amazed that they moved out of the neighborhood so quickly, just based on everybody being completely not, it was not acceptable to us to look at things like that and be here. So we were real happy when you guys moved in. Everybody's like, have you met them yet? They seem okay.
Yeah. We all like to go to this bagel store around the corner, Boogie Woogie Bagel Board.
Boogie Woogie Bagel Board? They make really good bagels. We should have played the song we wrote about them, but...
I haven't practiced it in a while.
Yeah.
Did... Anything else? I should ask. Is there anything else that Frank should ask you all? Hey, how about? T A L K talking A about E A each other.
Like fans.
I don't, I want the D, the drummer? No, the D-I. What? Oh, Frank wants the dirt.
That's like sort of give a band bio-ish kind of thing. Like
give a band bio
thing?
No. He wants you, like, say, to talk about him.
Oh.
You to talk about her, and her to talk about him.
Okay. Who would like to start? You guys should talk about each other since you've known each other the longest.
Well, I think the reason I met Zeke was when I was really little, my dad introduced me to Star Trek and I loved it. And so I noticed Zeke because every day he would come to school in his Star Trek uniform.
I was still in my Star Trek uniform.
I met C A Captain Kirk. You met Shatner? Do I know that? Did I meet him with you? When was this? Before you knew me? Since we've known each other? I don't remember. At the C O M I C comic S T O the comedy store
store.
Oh, in Berkeley. Oh, okay. Yeah. He came to one of the comic stores in Berkeley years and years ago.
Wow.
Shatner and Frank met him there. Right. Yeah. Okay, so you were dressing in your Star Trek. That's how you guys met. Okay.
Well, I met Andrew when I was in first grade. I was doing first grade. First grade take two. And, so, having some trouble making friends with my slightly younger peers, and I would see this kid, which was him, just a lot smaller, and
he had long hair, and I asked, I asked him, do you like Star Trek? About 6 months into the school year. And he's like, yeah. And that was the beginning of our friendship. So I went over to his house, and we played the Star Trek.
Star Trek.
We played the Star Trek computer game, which sadly, we did play computer games. And then we've kind of, and then when I took, left the school, to go to public school, because I had some learning issues, and the school was kind of, prospects year was kind of like, well, he's just not doing so well. Mm-hmm. And so I went to public
school. At the private school?
Yeah.
Prospects year.
So I went to a public school where they had, I went to a public school which she went to. We didn't meet there, though. We didn't know each other then, but we happened to go to the same school. And they had an RSP program, and I got back on track and started getting good grades, and it was good for me. But then public school started to be a drag in, like, fifth, sixth grade. So I got a scholarship to a private school in Marin. Wow, I don't know how I started talking about myself. I'm supposed to be talking about him. Then after I changed schools,
I want dirt. He wants dirt about each other.
Dirt. The first time. All right,
wait. He's got some dirt.
You had really, really, really weird hair, and I thought you kind of looked like a skunk. I think that's the only dirt I have about any of these people here.
I used to have a mohawk, so I think that.
And then it grew out. And he
had a dyed strip here, but then everything grew out, so it was just a poof with a dyed strip. But we stayed friends after first grade.
Does anyone else have any dirt?
No.
I made Adam get tight pants.
Yeah. She made me try on tight leather pants as well.
That was so funny.
She made Adam try on tight leather pants. And
he said hurt. His balls crush.
He said it crushed his balls.
Not surprised. I was there, actually.
Yeah, it was you and him and me and Ruben.
That is
what
I don't wear tight pants. Frank said that's why he doesn't wear tight pants.
Same here, actually.
Yeah, it took us ages to find that, and before that we would just play kind of like electric songs with no drums, and that sounded really bad, so when we found that, it was like really cool.
When we found Matt and Petra, the three of us, it was like, wow, like, our music's actually good. It was like the first time in a long time that
we're actually a band now.
We're a real band now. We can actually play a song.
Your mom said you were a P.U. punk band.
I think she was not talking.
Parents don't really classify punk. Except for my dad, but he doesn't even do it that well anymore.
Parents don't classify, but he doesn't even do that well anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't put us in a genre.
My dad dropped out of high school when he was 14 and moved to New York and kind of was
got into
the punk scene then.
And then he went back to college and did some cool stuff. And now he's not a punk rocker anymore, but like, I wouldn't call us a punk band. I'd say we had some punk influences, though. I mean, like, Distortion. I mean, Distortion was invented by punk rockers.
But
on the guitar, it having them seem really thick and stuff.
Are to see OMP complex to be a punk band.
Yeah.
Musically.
Yeah. Well, like, real punk is, it's just not that interesting because it's not complex enough. It's just like four chords over and over again.
And it's people complaining about what they don't like, and that's cool, but...
We want to actually have talent in our band.
Yeah, punk, the lyrics are just more complaining instead of complaining and being like, let's change it.
Yeah, which isn't exactly all of our lyrics, but, you know, we're starting to phase in some songs that are more about change and less about, like, just anything. Because for a long time it was like, what can we write lyrics about? It was really hard to find.
I'll talk about Zeke now. He has a side project. Chemical Disposition. It's some of his stuff. It's really cool. It's more of his lyrics, so it's more what he talks about. There's a lot of political stuff in his lyrics.
And you guys actually help me with lyrics sometimes when I don't have a rhyme.
So you can see that stuff at cd.zekepower.com.
And Zeke is spelled Z-E-K-E.
Ooh, I just thought about some dirt on Adam.
All right.
Oh, God.
So, the first song we ever recorded was the acoustic song called Now It's Over. And I think it's somewhere online.
You can hear his voice before his voice changed. And it sounds really cute, actually. I think it's like zekepower.com/music/now-it's-over that MP3, maybe. But, you know, don't take it from me. Cause
watch me delete that later today.
Ken? Can we have Zeke's other bands CD? Can we get does your other band have a CD?
Yeah, it's just mainly me. It's not like a band. I play all the parts and I program the drums. The reason I did it was because over the summer I wanted to do something musical, and he was going away, and he was going away, and he was going away.
And you had inspiration.
And they were all going away at different times. And I had access to some of them, but I didn't. We really couldn't have a band practice. So I wanted to do some stuff, and that's why I did it. But yeah, I can get you a copy of it.
Sure. Yeah. It was mostly him, but me and Adam loved him too.
And still on Duct Tape Mafia? Are you ever going to get a CD? Can he get a CD of that?
Sure.
We're still working on
the recordings we have
songs.
Were not that great, actually.
Pretty bad.
The recording quality we have was pretty bad, but we're going to record a new song next weekend, and that'll be a lot better recording quality.
Yeah, over the next year or so, we're working on recording a full album. I'm not sure if it's going to be solid yet.
Some of us think we're recording.
Well, I thought we were.
What? Some of us think we're recording an album over the next year. Some of us.
That'd be cool.
It would. We should have
one. So you have music online.
Yeah, we do.
We have three songs.
DuckTapeMafia.com. Check it out.
DuckTapeMafia.com. But just imagine the recording quality is awesome.
Oh.
Just imagine.
Imagine
okay.
We're just a great
okay. We just will have to get it off of the website. We will just have to put your set here, right, on into the mix. Right, so that's the way we'll get you into Lover's Mix. We'll put your set here tonight in the mix.
Yeah, and if we can get a copy of that, we'll put it on our website and show people it and take songs off of it and have a live song. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll get you a copy.
Do you want to get a copy of your set list?
Set list? Yeah. Right there.
It's not really cool. It's kind of annotated for us.
Before you leave, we got a phone. Okay, so we have one there. Yeah.
Actually, the song we played, Rebuild, is on the CD.
Yeah,
it was actually his song.
One of the songs we did was one I wrote and did by myself. The fifth song, apparently.
And
P, and O. Obviously, you are not P, U, punk.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, we're not punk, but like.
Because you T, U, N, tune your guitars in the middle of your set.
Yeah, it really just Zeke off when we're at tune.
Zeke's got like super hearing about tuning, so like if he hears like one string, like just like
tiniest bit off,
yeah.
Adam needs like, tune.
I think it makes it sound a little bit better.
It does.
Although it takes a little more time. Which is good when we don't have a good a full set.
F. U. N. Funny. This. R. Oh, this room is a M A major C L club. Well, because people, when they're touring, they end up booking this show as part of their tour, so we get bands and people from around from all over the place, actually. Yeah. L O N D London. Is that the furthest someone has come to be on this show? Maybe.
I might have watched that on the archives.
The Leeches.
The Leeches.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. And they insisted, because they had sent us their music and we were playing it on Lover, and then they said they were touring. And we just didn't have, we were completely booked up when they were going to be here, and said we just couldn't do it. And they really did a hard sell on Frank. They said that Berkeley stands for everything they believe in. And to find out that there's something like Lover and it's in Berkeley, it would just mean so much to them. So we ended up like going without sleep and doing a couple shows in a row so we could have them come like on a Saturday night or something. They. B. L. E. Bled. Oh, right. They were playing so hard they ended up bleeding. We had blood all over the floor. Yeah.
Hardcore.
That's hardcore.
H-X-C.
Yeah. H-X-C. For all these people that are, like, reading this.
Trendy.
So is that it? Okay, so your Rockle. Website is
ducktapemafia.com.
Yeah.
How did you C O M come up with the name?
It took us ages to decide on a name.
But Petra thought of that name.
So many different
we had, like, at first we had the Goldfish Conspiracy, and we went with that for a little bit. And we had,
789 and Crushed Vinyl. But Petra thought of the Duct Tape Mafia.
Yeah, and all of the above. And we were, like, debating between the Duct Tape Mafia and the Goldfish Conspiracy for a really long time.
And then we finally went to the Duct Tape Mafia.
Thanks to what?
Oh, one of my friends drew a drawing of this group of people with that were like a mafia, and one of them had a roll of duct tape in their hand, and she wrote "Duct Tape Mafia," the Duct Tape Mafia, and she was like, "You can use this as your logo."
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, thanks."
It's still on our MySpace.
In their website.
Claire's probably watching this. Really? Oh, hi, Claire! I love you. Park. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that's a wrap then.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, everybody.